we know that the lifetime of costs associated with gun violence are nothing compared to the personal and tragic costs of human life, but they are seriously impacting the way that our communities and our world works.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, president of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable healthcare.
In this episode, Business Forward hosted a briefing and Q&A on passing federal background check legislation for all gun sales with Sarah Trumbull, Senior Director of Federal Affairs at Everytown for Gun Safety. Trumbull outlined what federal background check legislation for gun sales would do, how it helps, its chances of passing in Congress, and the steps business leaders can take to help advocate in their communities. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward. We're delighted to host Sarah Trumbull, Senior Director for Federal Affairs at Everytown. We'd also like to thank the many local and state organizations for joining us and inviting their members, including Hispanic, Black, and AAPI chambers across the country. Sarah, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim, and to all of you for joining us today to talk about this really critical subject. We're so grateful for your interest and your partnership, because we know that gun violence is a public health crisis in this country. Every day, more than 100 Americans are shot and killed, and 230 more are shot and wounded. And we're rapidly becoming a nation of survivors. 58% of American adults have either themselves or someone they care for experienced gun violence in their lifetime. And on top of that human toll, we know there's a really profound economic impact. At a time when our economy is struggling to recover from the pandemic, gun violence costs American taxpayers, employers, and communities a staggering $280 billion every year. Employers alone are losing $1.4 million every day in productivity and revenue and costs associated with gun violence. And the communities that are experiencing gun violence struggle to attract investment and to create jobs and to see economic growth. Like all Americans, business leaders really see the impact that gun violence has on your employees and your customers and your neighbors and your friends. And through your market footprint and your employee networks and your communications platforms, the impact that you have as employers and job creators and America's business leaders puts you in a position to raise awareness of and support for and help implement really responsible life-saving measures to reduce gun violence. Because now is really the time, and we have the opportunity to do something about this by passing background check legislation. I'm going to talk a little bit about how background checks work and where the loopholes in our gun laws are, how Congress can fix it, and why this is really the moment. Right now, federal law already prohibits certain categories of people from owning or buying guns. That includes people with felony convictions, certain domestic abusers, people who are fugitives. And background checks are really the tool that we use to enforce those prohibitions. Federal law requires all licensed gun dealers to run a background check before they sell a gun. The buyer presents their ID and fills out a form and gives it to the dealer. The dealer then contacts the FBI or the state agency, depending on the state, who runs that information through the background check system. And the answer comes back, yes, no, or we need more time to figure it out. Background checks aren't hard. Right, there have been more than 393 million background checks run since the system was created in 1994, and nearly 90% are completed immediately. And 99% of Americans live within 10 miles of a licensed gun dealer, so it's easy and convenient to do background checks. Perhaps most importantly, we know that background checks work. More than 3.5 million illegal gun sales have been stopped by the background check system since 1994. And state laws that require background checks for handgun sales, either by point of sale or by permit, are associated with lower rates of gun trafficking, lower rates of firearm homicide, and lower rates of firearm suicide. And last but not least, it's important to know that background checks are constitutional. In the more than 100 years that background check laws have existed in some form, no court has ever struck one down under the Second Amendment. But we know that these loopholes in the system are undermining our ability to keep people safe. Because current federal law only requires licensed dealers to run background checks, that means that unlicensed sellers don't have to. including at gun shows, online, or when they're selling to strangers. It's like having two security lines at the airport, one that goes through TSA and one where you can just walk onto the airplane. This loophole means that people with felony convictions and domestic abuse restraining orders and people who are prohibited from having guns can easily go to an unlicensed seller and buy one with no questions asked. One of the biggest parts of this issue is now, unlike in 1994, the internet is its own marketplace in a way that no one could have anticipated. We found that every year since 2018, there have been more than 1 million ads on a website called ArmsList, which is kind of like the Craigslist for gun sales, that offer guns from sales for unlicensed sellers in states that don't require background checks. And nearly 1 in 9 of the prospective buyers who respond to those ads can't pass a background check. That's 7 times higher than the rate at licensed gun stores. The average number of posts by people looking to buy guns in states that don't require background checks doubled in 2020 compared to 2019. But we've also found really good news, and that's that laws work to close the unlicensed sales loophole. In states that require background checks on all gun sales, 84% of unlicensed sellers told prospective purchasers on these websites that they would need to pass a background check. That's compared to only 6% who said that in states where it's not required. The good news is this is not hard to fix. We know that we can strengthen background check legislation in ways that are common sense and constitutional and overwhelmingly popular. Earlier this year, the House passed the Bipartisan Background Check Act to require a background check on all gun sales. And there are extensive bipartisan conversations happening right now in the Senate on background checks. We know that getting to 60 votes is going to be no easy feat, and it's going to require both sides of the aisle to work together. But we firmly believe that it is doable and that now is the moment. Because it's been 25 years since the federal government last passed a major gun safety law. That's 25 years of families being devastated as loved ones were killed or wounded, and 25 years of survivors of gun violence begging for action. 93% of Americans support background checks, including 89% of Republicans and 89% of gun owners, and more than 4 in 5 voters in every single state. Washington now has a gun sense trifecta in the House, the Senate, and the White House. And yesterday's court case with the NRA just showed how sidelined they are in this fight. We've spent the last 8 years passing gun safety laws in red, blue, and purple states and have amassed a grassroots army unlike anything has seen before. And now we've closed the enthusiasm gap. So gun safety is not a third rail, but a kitchen table issue. The Senate Majority Leader has committed to putting a gun bill on the Senate floor, and we're amassing a coalition in support of bipartisan action, unlike anything that's ever been for this issue before. That includes all of you and other business leaders, law enforcement, veterans, faith leaders, gun owners, survivors, and Americans on both sides of the aisle who are ready for action. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. We so appreciate your support to make our communities safer and are excited to work together with you.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate it. I'm going to go with a skeptical question first, or a careful question. This is from Paula Ray Teal in Magnolia, Texas. She asks, will this gun legislation bill take away guns from law-abiding citizens who have already passed gun safety laws and federal background checks?
No. We don't know what the final deal is going to look like in the Senate. Those conversations are just happening. But we do know that no one is talking about taking away guns from people who have passed background checks. This is all about making sure that people who can't pass a background check can't easily avoid one.
And just to go back to some of your math, one of the things we do with our training is we make sure that the business leader is participating, really internalize the math. You said that the people responding to ads on ArmsList were 7 times more likely to have a felony record, domestic abuse record, or be fugitives. So the covered people know what's happening and they're working around. They're going into the other line at TSA.
Yes. It's not a secret that it's easy to avoid a background check.
Got it. And if you reverse the math, and if that's 7 times more than people who are buying at licensed dealers, that means that about less than 2, maybe 1% of people who go through a licensed dealer have trouble with the background check.
I am not a business leader, so my math is not quite that great. But it is true that at licensed gun dealers, we see significantly fewer people trying to lie and buy guns on the background check system, and they're unsuccessful when they do. because we know that 3.5 million of those sales have been stopped in the last 20 years.
We've got a question. It's more of a statement from Bryce Hansen, president of Boston Boat Lifts in Seattle, Washington. He says, I believe in the Second Amendment, but I also believe the framers did not anticipate the crisis we are in. I believe the interpretation of the freedoms of the Second Amendment gives us have gone too far. We need to prioritize safety and health over the largely unchecked right to bear arms. It's long past time to do something. So could you walk through just in a little more detail why the Second Amendment doesn't prevent this? Why no court has tossed background checks on the grounds of the Second Amendment?
Sure. The Second Amendment, just like every other constitutional right, is not unlimited. In fact, Antonin Scalia, the strongly conservative Supreme Court justice, really wrote the defining case that outlines what the Second Amendment means. And what he said was that there can be realistic and reasonable restrictions on gun laws, particularly to keep guns out of the wrong hands. And so if we as a nation have already decided that people who are felons and people who have restraining orders because they are domestic abusers cannot buy guns, that using a background check in order to make sure that they can't is reasonable and well within the frame of the law.
So Nicholas Fry, an owner of Fry and Hensley & Co., Cincinnati, Ohio, talks a little bit about the business impact. He says, it's not possible to continue doing business in a society that lives in fear. We need to live in peace and security, not random gun violence sponsored by gun owners. Andrea Beth Damsky, a doctor in La Mesa, California, talks about how fear about gun violence is intimidating shoppers in her area. Could you talk a little bit more about the economic impacts research that you've done and just sort of walk people through how these costs sort of affect the community?
Absolutely. We know that the lifetime of costs associated with gun violence are nothing compared to the personal and tragic costs of human life, but they are seriously impacting the way that our communities and our world works. And these types of costs really include both the immediate costs that start at the time of the incident, subsequent costs like treatment, long-term physical and mental health care, foregone earnings, criminal justice costs, and cost estimates of quality of life that's lost over a victim's lifespan. We know that on an average day, American taxpayers are paying almost $35 million for medical care, first responders, ambulance, police, and criminal justice service only related to gun violence. That families directly affected by gun violence every day pay $4.7 million out of pocket for medical bills and mental health support, and then $140 million in losses from work missed due to injury or death. Society loses an estimated $586.8 million a day in intangible costs from pain and suffering. And then, like we talked about, employers like you are every day losing $1.4 million in productivity, revenue, and cost because of victims and gun violence.
Most of the business leaders in our network talk a lot about the fact how their communities compete with other communities in their area for investment in new jobs. And you've talked about how gun violence hurts that. I think, you know, what we've seen, some of the comments we've done in this event is when your community is hurt by gun violence and it diminishes your ability to attract investment, it starts a negative cycle. You start falling behind. If you lose out on a few bids for new business, it's hard to catch up. So people might think about the impact on their community on a short-term basis. It really has a long-term impact as well. We've got a number of people who've made comments that sort of talk about car licenses. And I'm not sure if this is a theme that you've seen, but Robert Grieve, CEO of Pro2Q in Hamilton, Virginia, says, loopholes for background checks should be closed to prevent the sale of weapons to those individuals who shouldn't possess them. Case in point, everyone who drives a car must be licensed. Ken Peterson, CEO of Abundant Living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, says, background checks should be a minimum standard for acquiring firearms. We would all be safer. Imagine that we had no requirements for driving a car. It simply makes no sense to have no requirements for gun ownership. How often do you hear this? Does this work? If I'm a business leader trying to encourage elected officials to talk about this, is this an argument that works?
We hear this a lot. And I think that's because one of the ways that people are thinking about it is driving a car is very similar in your ability to potentially hurt someone as having a gun and using it. The difference is, of course, that cars have a purpose other than shooting things. And we do know that just like with driver's license, every state sets their own rules for guns, which is wonderful and fine and something that we fully support. What the federal government is really talking about is setting the floor, and the floor should be a background check. Some states do require licenses, and we've seen licenses to be very effective in reducing gun violence. But when we're talking about what a bipartisan solution looks like at the federal level, we're really focused on background checks because we know that is where we can save the most lives the most quickly. And it's really the most foundational step to get to the next stage of gun violence prevention.
So we've got a number of questions about legislation, process, bipartisan support. Mark Terranova, an advisor, consultant, author in Algonquin, Illinois, asks, what's the minimum number of votes in the House and Senate that is needed to pass meaningful gun legislation? So maybe if you could answer that question to sort of build on, to sort of walk us through the process and where you think the action is going to be.
Sure. The main battleground right now is absolutely the U.S. Senate. Like we talked about, the House has already passed legislation. In the House, you have to get 218 votes. That's a majority of the number of seats, which they did. So the House has checked the box. Now it's the Senate's turn. In the Senate, you have to get 60 votes to advance legislation. Right now, there are 50 Democrats. So that means you would need all of the Democrats and 10 Republicans to join hands with them. But we've been seeing a lot of really promising signs from Republicans, folks who are ready to come to the table, ready to start having real conversations, because gun violence isn't something that just affects Democrats. It's something that affects all of our communities. If, and hopefully when, the Senate passes a bill with 60 votes, because it is different than what we think the House has already passed, it will probably have to go back to the House so that the House can vote on whatever the Senate passed, and then it will be able to go to the president's desk. And we fully expect that President Biden would sign gun violence prevention legislation into law. And that would make for the first major gun safety law in 25 years.
And so what's your recommendation for business leaders who want to speak out? What's the best way of doing so? What are the arguments that you think are going to be most effective?
The voices of business leaders are so critical here. And the impact that you have on your senators is almost unrivaled. Your senators absolutely need to hear from you that you expect them to take action, that you believe that there is a way to do this, that doing nothing is unacceptable. And so the more that you can speak to your senators privately, publicly, the more that you can rally support in your community, and the more you can talk about how this is not a red and blue issue, but a life and death issue, that this is critical, not just in terms of loss of life and the things that are survivors and people who have experienced gun violence and are sharing their stories with their senators can say, but also from your perspective as a job creator, right? This is affecting your bottom line. This is affecting our economy. And this is affecting the way that we're going to recover from this pandemic. And we're all going to need to work together to come back even stronger. And to do that, we need to address gun violence.
And we're talking about felons, domestic abusers, and fugitives not getting guns. It's pretty straightforward. Geraldine Stapleton from North Hollywood, California asks, gun sales have broken records for 5 straight months. How does this impact the call for further gun restrictions?
I think it just goes to show, you were right, that gun sales skyrocketed during the pandemic. I am not opposed to people buying guns. Guns themselves are not inherently bad, right? What matters is people who are buying guns can pass a background check, right? That they are responsible gun owners, that they will recognize the responsibilities that come with that right, that they will store their guns safely, that they will make sure that they stay out of the hands of children or others who might access them. And what we've seen is that the background check system needs to be strengthened to address this huge increase in gun sales, because just like we saw an increase in gun sales at licensed dealers, we saw a huge increase in people looking to buy guns online without a background check. And that means that we have no idea how many guns may have gotten into the wrong hands in the last year as people surged into the market. And that is something that we should all be concerned about.
We've got a couple statements that I want to flag because our network is bipartisan. And Elena Alcantara from Hutto, Texas says, as a longtime Republican, I support and request immediate action to strengthen background checks across the country. Ashley Hess, Vice President of Indigenous Pact PVC Inc. in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, says, "As a lifelong gun owner, hunter, and military family member, I believe it is long overdue that our politicians quit hiding, pass and enact comprehensive federal background check legislation. It is the lowest hanging fruit." I've picked these two because these are two advocates who point out that the Republicans and their gun owners, or one points out that. So if you are going to be contacting members of Congress and you are Republican, that's a good argument to make. There are just more questions. Patricia Holt, Lawrenceville, Georgia asks, "This has been an issue since Reagan was shot and nothing has been done. Even after Sandy Hook, there wasn't enough momentum for real change. How do you expect change now?"
That's a question we hear a lot. And I understand the deep frustration and lack of action. But I also reject the premise in a lot of ways. The shooting of Ronald Reagan is really the thing that led to the creation of the background check system. In fact, the background check bill that is currently law is called the Brady Bill because it was named for the person who was shot at the Reagan shooting. It took a long time to get from that shooting to passing the Brady Bill in 1993, but that just goes to show that this is not something that happens very quickly. Sandy Hook was, by all accounts, a horrifying, eye-opening tragedy for America, but it was also more of the beginning than the end. Every town did not exist before Sandy Hook in its current form. Moms Demand Action, which is our grassroots arm, did not exist until Sandy Hook. In fact, it was started the day after Sandy Hook in response. And what we have really done in the years since Sandy Hook is change the calculus. We've really readjusted the politics of guns. So now it's something that people are running on, not against. We've made this a thing that is both bipartisan, that states are passing laws on left and right. Congress is really where the fight ends, not where the fight begins. And we've seen so much progress in the states over the last 8 years that we think now is really the opportunity to see some on Capitol Hill too.
You mentioned the mothers group. In our experience, small business owners in particular like to partner with organizations in their community. Could you tell us a little bit more about that group, what they do, and how business leaders in our network could connect with them?
Absolutely. Moms Demand Action and Students Demand Action is the grassroots arm of Everytown for Gun Safety. We have a chapter in every single state of Moms Demand Action. We've got more than 700 local groups. And these are groups that are active in their communities that are working on state legislation, federal legislation. They're talking to the school board. They're collecting diapers for diaper banks. They're really key members of the community and they're experts on gun violence prevention. We would be happy to connect anybody to their local Moms Demand Action organization to see how you can plug in on the local level, because there are a ton of opportunities and different ways for folks to get involved.
Are there any points that we didn't cover that you think we should make sure that the people participating know?
No, I think we have talked about why background checks can save lives, how they are the solution, that the Senate has an opportunity here that it hasn't had in many, many years to make this difference, and that the voices of the folks who are listening to this right now could be the thing that get us across the finish line. And that's what I would want to leave folks with.
Thank you, Sarah. We really appreciate you taking the time to help us brief the network, and we look forward to working with you in the coming months. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, produced and engineered by Alexi Littman and Alex Pastanen. Thanks for listening. See you next time.